I invite you in Scripture to Luke chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke. We've been considering together the miracles of Jesus as they're recorded in the Gospel of Luke, and this is the fifth time that we have come to that topic together on a Sunday morning. Last week, we considered from the first 11 verses of this chapter the miraculous catch of fish. But of course, it really wasn't about a miraculous catch of fish, was it? It was really about the miraculous catch of Peter. And it was Peter's calling, not his calling to conversion, not his calling to faith and repentance, but his calling to a more constant companionship with the Lord. And we saw in Peter's calling, our calling, that we're called to something more. And that something more is often going to be inconvenient, and we may even see it as an intrusion into our routine. And so it will take a thoroughgoing change of mind about ourselves and our priorities and our self-centeredness. And it will be a calling to serve people, a ministry of catching men and people for the Lord Jesus. So this morning we come to the very next miracle in the Gospel of Luke. And depending on how you count these miracles, this is the fifth miracle in the Gospel of Luke. If you think back of the miracles we've seen so far, there was the demoniac in the Capernaum synagogue. And then there was Peter's mother-in-law and how Jesus rebuked her fever. And then there was the crowd, the clustered miracles that evening in Capernaum, where many demons were cast out and many people of various diseases were healed. And then there was a miraculous catch of fish. And then when you come to verse number 12, you have the cleansing of a leper. And so let's read together verses 12 through 16. We're really just going to focus on verses 12 through 14, but let's read all these verses here in this paragraph. Luke chapter 5, verse number 12. This is God's word. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Amen. Well, in that report, especially those first three verses where our focus is going to be, there seems to me to be two leading features. And so as we start to get our minds around this and to grasp what the specific message of the Holy Spirit is in this passage, think with me about these two leading features. The first is the stress on the nature of the miracle. Leprosy is a physical disease. It's a physical malady. And normally, when we talk about the reversal or the taking away of a physical disease or malady, we would refer to it as a healing. But is that the word that Luke uses? It is not. In fact, he uses another word, and he uses it three times. That has to be deliberate. To pass over the normal word, heal, or made whole, and rather to use what word three times? The word clean or cleanse. You see that in verse number 12. Thou canst make me clean. Verse 13, I will, be thou clean. Verse 14, show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing. And so the threefold use of the word is something to be noted in this passage. Leprosy is the only disease that you would describe that way, right? You wouldn't talk about being cleansed from your blindness or being cleansed from palsy. You would only talk about being cleansed from leprosy. When leprosy is reversed, you don't call it a healing, you call it a cleansing. That's one leading feature, cleansing. And the threefold use of that word then suggests that this miracle is not merely about Jesus' power to reverse a physical malady. Rather, it's about the good that Jesus can do for souls. This miracle is not merely about Jesus' power to reverse physical maladies. It is about the good that he can do for unclean souls. And friends, that is good news for us today. Cleansing, cleansing. The second leading feature of these three verses emerges from the words exchanged between the leper, the unclean man, and Jesus himself. At the end of verse number 12, you see what the leper says. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And then Jesus responds in the next verse, I will. And then the leper is immediately cleansed. And so it appears to me that the Holy Spirit desires us to notice as a leading feature the willingness of Jesus to cleanse this leper. He wasn't just able to cleanse the leper. He was willing to cleanse the man. And that really is a critical point, isn't it? That is a critical point. Do you ever find yourself in the position of this leper, needing cleansed, but doubting whether it will ever happen? This morning, I would like to preach to you on the theme, cleansed by a willing Savior. Those are the two leading features of these three verses, cleansing and willingness. And so let's talk together about cleansed by a willing Savior. And I hope to show you how the cleansing of this leper is good news for each of us today. The account divides into three parts according to the three verses. You have just a point per verse. And so in verse number 12, you have the unclean man, or the request of the unclean man. Verse 13, the response of Christ. So his request and then the response. And then verse 14 is about the resulting testimony that this man was supposed to give once he was cleansed. And so the request of the unclean man, the response of Christ to him, and the resulting testimony. And so let's look in verse number 12 regarding this unclean man. The first thing we're confronted with in this passage is his condition, the condition of leprosy. And you see how Luke, the physician, describes it. He says, and this is unique to Luke, Matthew and Mark don't say this, he says, behold a man full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. The disease had run its course. He was full of it. Full of leprosy. Now, it hasn't been all that long since I described to you the biblical disease leprosy and what we think is in the modern day Hansen's disease. It was just about 2 months ago. It was Thanksgiving week that we went ahead in our study of the miracles and talked about the cleansing of the 10 lepers where only one returned with gratitude. And so we spent some time there talking about what leprosy is. And so I'll just be suggestive and hopefully brief in my descriptions here of this disease that you have heard many descriptions of over the years. It's a disease that attacks the nerves and the skin. It so damages the nerves that in many cases people lose feeling in those parts of their body which has been afflicted by the nerve damage. And so lepers can be burned or cut or lacerated, but they don't feel anything, and they fail to take proper precaution and attention to those wounds. And so as a result, there is infection and festering and often the loss of those extremities. Leprosy would often inflame the eyes and cause people to lose their sight. It would attack the vocal cords so that their voice was hoarse and their whisper was ghostly. And one of the most dreaded aspects of the disease was the alteration in physical appearance, especially the appearance of the face. The skin would thicken and fall into deep folds in the facial features. Eyebrows would fall out. The skin would be lumpy and discolored. It was a loathsome disease, and we really could not bear graphic descriptions or pictures of what this disease actually does to a human body. It was loathsome and wretched and caused great suffering. And you know that on top of the physical suffering, there were social implications of having leprosy. The Mosaic Law demanded that lepers put a covering over their lip and announce unclean whenever they entered even the semblance of society. People routinely threw rocks at lepers to keep them at bay and to ward them off. And lepers were entirely prevented from participating in the things of God. They were cut off from the tabernacle and from corporate worship and from the sacrificial system and all the ceremonies prescribed in the law. They're cut off from them. The leper was rigidly cut off from all human contact whatsoever. Think, husbands, of being consigned to never live with your wife again. Mothers being told that you would never again hold your children. Lepers were outcast, entirely cut off from those whom they loved and from those who loved them. And there was absolutely no hope of recovery for them. It was a hopeless despair. No other disease reduced a human being to such a pitiable wreck of isolated, incurable human wretchedness. And it was a disease to be loathed because it bundled up in one awful bundle everything that could possibly go wrong in a person's life. Physically, socially, emotionally, religiously, it is one terrible bundle of trouble. So it's no wonder then that Scripture, by the design of God, makes leprosy a graphic description of the miserable effects of sin. Think of the defilement of it, the slow, insidious progress of the disease, the numbing effect that renders a person incapable of feeling, the loss of sensitivity, the dreaded disfigurement, the isolation, the incurability, the despair. This is a graphic picture of what sin does to a person. It's precisely the condition of many a human soul. There are people who have made terrible choices. They've sinned against light. They have felt the numbing of their spirit and the dulling of their spiritual sensitivities. They've known the loss of conscience, the inability to be convicted anymore by sin, the complete loss of all hope, the sense of incurability, the feeling of fatalism. There's a precise parallel between leprosy, being full of leprosy, and being full of sin. It runs right down the line in parallel. And there are likely people here. And you came into this building this morning under that very sense of defilement and despair in your heart. And Scripture parallels your experience with the experience of this man. And I want to tell you that this passage is not merely here to impress you with the power of Jesus over physical suffering. This passage is here to address the needs of your soul and how Jesus is able and willing to meet your need, your sense of guilt, your sense of defilement, and your despair over your prolonged condition. This man wasn't just healed, he was cleansed. And that's just what we need, to be cleansed in our hearts, in our souls. And so notice what comes next in the description of this man. Verse 12 says he's full of leprosy. But then we have this wonderful statement that when he saw the Lord, he fell on his face and besought him. Matthew puts it this way: he came and worshiped Jesus. That's what Matthew 8 says. Now look at his words that are recorded for us at the end of verse number 12. And I want to tell you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when you listen to these man's words, you know what he's thinking in his heart. This was his conception of Jesus. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. His conception of the Lord Jesus was the Lord was entirely able to deal with his condition. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That word canst is the word for ability or power. It's actually the Greek word from which we get our word dynamite from. It's the word dunamis. And so it means that he has the ability, he has the power to cleanse me. And he confesses that to be the case. You can do this. You have the power to do this. And that's what the Bible calls faith. And it's precisely what most lepers lack. And what I'm talking about is spiritual lepers. It's what spiritual lepers lack. They lack that kind of faith. They often believe that even with God, that my situation is hopeless and that there's no answer to my spiritual condition. But the Bible says that without faith, there's no way to please God. And that if you're going to come to him, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I ask you, do you believe that if you would diligently seek the Lord out, that he would become a rewarder to you? Do you believe that? I want to remind you that this sanctuary is full of people who bear testimony to the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus. That you are surrounded in this room with living testimonies of his cleansing power. There are people in this sanctuary that can bear testimony of their past, of their deep sins, of the blackness of their heart, of their hardness of heart against God, of the fact that there was a time when they had no hope, that there was no thought of God ever being able to enter their life and to clean them up and to change them. That they thought that there's nothing that could be done for their condition. And they even came to a place like this, unwilling to hear the preaching of the word, with no expectation that God would do anything for them. And he did. And he met them. And he cleansed them. You have evidence all around you of the the potential of being cleansed by the Lord Jesus. And that's a whole lot more than this leper had. You think about it. You have a whole lot more evidence than this leper had in this statement of faith he makes in verse 12. I mean, how many instances of healing lepers are there in the history of the world? Two. There was Moses' sister Miriam. That occurred 1,400 years before this man was born. And then there was the Syrian general named Naaman, which occurred about 800 years before this man was born. And other than that, he had never met another leper who had known healing. There were no examples of this. He had no evidence. Other than those two isolated cases, this man had never known of a leper to be healed. Yet he had faith and came to Jesus and says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." It's remarkable faith. His only question at the end of verse 12 was whether Christ, in his case, was willing to do it. He did not doubt his ability. His only question was whether Christ, in his case, was willing to do it. And that is exactly the problem people have, isn't it? That really is. That is where the rubber meets the road. You know, we often face this in talking to people about the Lord. We present to them the work of Christ, the gospel, his sufficiency to save, his atonement that he has offered to satisfy God. And we might ask them now, do you believe that God is able to save a person like you? Do you believe that God is able to save someone who's done the things that you've done? And often they'll say, yes. But then if you ask the next question and say, do you think that he would do it for you? Often the answer is, I don't know. Isn't it? I don't know. That's exactly where this man is. Would Jesus be willing to cleanse my case? And that may be why you've come here today with a sense of despair in your heart. You, like this man in verse number 12, know yourself to be defiled and disfigured by sin. You know that you are unclean. And you're persuaded that Christ Jesus is able to save sinners. His blood can make the foulest clean. You know that. He's given his life as a ransom for many. And that they that are justified have peace with God. They pass from death unto life. But you wonder whether the Lord would ever do anything like that for you, personally, individually, for you. And the carnal mind is able to raise all kinds of issues and all kinds of excuses along these lines. I've been so foul. I've been in this condition for so long. I've sinned against light. There have been so many consequences in my life. My life is such a tangled web that cannot possibly get untangled. Everybody else has given up hope on me. I've never experienced liberty. I've tried it before. It hasn't worked. All these things the carnal mind raises as objections. And on the other hand, though, this needs to be said. You need to be confronted with this. On the other hand, there are the clear statements of Scripture. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will cleanse them from all iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. That's Jeremiah 33:8. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7. Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Jeremiah 3:13. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You see, it's your unbelieving excuses versus the direct words of God. According to you, your condition is hopeless. But according to God, there is hope. So would you do what this man did? Would you break through all social convention and set aside all of your own self-estimation and esteem and just throw yourself down on the mercy of Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you fell on your face full of leprosy and defilement and said, Lord, I know that you are able if you would. I know that you are able if you would. You need to be at a distance and thought in his mind, there goes the man that's able to heal me, that's able to cleanse me. And then he passively waited for Jesus to turn and walk over to him. Would he have been cleansed? I doubt it. Just so, it is not enough for you to merely acknowledge Jesus' ability from afar and to passively wait for some measure of the Holy Spirit to come over you that you think would entitle you then to be able to believe. You need to call upon him. You need to fall down at his feet and worship. You need to have personal dealings with Jesus Christ. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Imagine if the leper went about trying to clean himself up before he approached Jesus. To make himself presentable. That would have been an exercise in futility, wouldn't it? Just so you're not supposed to clean yourself up. You're not supposed to tarry until you're better. If you tarry until you're better, you'll never come at all. No, you have to do precisely what this leper did. You need to fall on your face before Christ, acknowledging that you have nothing to offer, that you have nothing for which to gain acceptance with God, that you can't do anything about the defilement of your heart. This man just came and he poured out his heart before Christ. No pretenses, just faith. He just wanted so badly to be cleansed. That's what you need to do. Cast yourself on the mercy of Christ. And so notice with me in verse 13, the response of Christ. Look at how he responds. And I want to assure you that the response here is an example of the way that he always responds to spiritual lepers who fall at his feet. This is not here to raise false hopes in your heart. This is not here as an isolated example in the case of a unique individual that's never going to be repeated again. No, this is here as an example of what Jesus always responds with when unclean lepers fall at his feet. You see how in verse 13, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now, why did Jesus do that? I mean, so far in Luke, we've had several miracles. And the emphasis on each one has been on the power of Jesus' words. He doesn't have to touch someone to be healed. He just talked to the demon, gone. He just rebukes the fever, gone. And when it came to the fish, he didn't even say, let there be fish. He just thought it, and boom, the whole net is full of thousands of little silvery fish that are sinking two boats. He didn't even say anything on that occasion. So why is it that on this miracle, he touches him? Well, it has to be part of the assurance that he's offering that he is full of compassion and willing to cleanse lepers. Mark reported that Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw this man. And then Jesus reaches out toward this trembling man. I mean, think about, picture it in your mind. Here's this trembling leper at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus reaches out his hand and with a reassuring touch sets him at ease that indeed Jesus cared about his condition. When was the last time this man felt a human touch? Everyone else hearing this cry would have pretended not to hear and would have walked away quickly. Everyone else seeing this man approach would have turned away in disgust. Everyone else would have feared coming in contact with this leper. Not Jesus. He stopped. He looked down. He met his gaze. He smiled. He reached out his hand, laid it on his shoulder, and touched him. And should we not see in this touch not only a demonstration of the heart of Christ toward the unclean, but also a little picture of the means by which unclean people are made clean? Because what happens when you touch a leper? You become defiled yourself. And is there a little picture here of the fact that the way that Jesus is able to cleanse sinners is by taking their sins upon himself? That Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And that he bore our sins and our sorrows, and he made them his very own. And if that doesn't show you the willingness of Christ to receive sinful men and cleanse unclean people, I don't know what would. The touch of Jesus to this man. And then verse 13 says, he said these wonderful words, I will. I am willing. And those words show us the heart of Christ toward all the unclean. They display his infinite willingness to do good to all that come to him. Jesus is the friend of sinners. He receives sinful men. He came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He shall save his people from their sins. There's no lack of willingness on the part of Jesus. If a sinner is lost, it's the sinner's fault. It's because of the unwillingness of the sinner. It is not ever due to a lack of willingness in the heart of Christ. The blame of the sinner's ruin can never be placed on Christ. Sinners are ruined by their own stubborn refusal to come. As Jesus explains in John 5, ye would not come to me that ye might have life. That's the issue. It's not any unwillingness in Christ. He's willing. I will. And when this poor trembling leper approached Jesus, fell at his feet, cast himself on his mercy, Jesus channeled all of his mighty ability to cleanse down to this man with these words, "Be thou cleansed." And immediately the leprosy departed. There was an immediate and a complete cleansing, wasn't there? Imagine that. Imagine that. This man was full of leprosy. It wasn't just like a spot behind his ear or something. He was full of leprosy. That rotting flesh, those deep features, everything firm and flesh and clean now. If there were any members of his body that were missing, I imagine that they were immediately supplied to him. All the nerves are repaired. All the feeling is restored. In every fiber, he's a new creation. There's fresh life everywhere in him. Do you believe that Jesus could do that for you? Do you believe that if you come, that he is willing to do something that dramatic in your life and to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus? And friends, what we're seeing in this passage is not, it's not only about being cleansed by a willing Savior when you are lost in your sin. God's people need continually cleansed. I mean, don't you know this? Don't you feel this? Don't you experience this? That when you're out in the world between Lord's days, don't you get soiled out there? Don't you become defiled through the week on a daily basis? That's a fallen mess of humanity out there that we're walking in the midst of. It's dangerous out there. You can hardly go anywhere without having to resist something and turn away your ears and turn away your eyes. And we all must avail ourselves daily, continually, of the cleansing blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sin. So the Lord's people need this word as well, don't they? And what this passage tells us is that when we know ourselves defiled, when we know ourselves unclean by sin, that we can come to Jesus for cleansing, and he's always glad to do it. He's always glad to do it. He doesn't upbraid us when we come to him. He invites us to come. In fact, he commands us to come. In fact, he threatens us if we won't come. He wants to keep us in right relationship to himself. He wants to cleanse you. The Lord Jesus was glad to cleanse this man. And so in verse 14, once the man is cleansed, he's given the same opportunity that each of us have when we know ourselves to be cleansed of our defilement by the Lord. He's called to bear testimony to his cleansing. The Lord tells the man in verse 14 to go immediately into the presence of the priests to present himself there in the temple in Jerusalem. Why does he tell him to do this? Because it's exactly what Leviticus 14 said should happen. In Leviticus 14, it was demanded that a person who had been healed from leprosy present himself to the priest. And the priest was told in Leviticus 14 in a lot of detail how to examine the person to discover if indeed he had been healed. Now think about this. The priests in Jerusalem had never had to use Leviticus 14 before. In fact, had that chapter ever been put to use? It wasn't put to use in the case of Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian. He didn't go to the priests and offer himself for cleansing. It wasn't put to use in Miriam because that was prior to the writing of Leviticus. Here was a chapter of Scripture that century after century after century went unused. And I'm sure there were scores of priests and scribes who wondered, why did God ever even write this chapter? Why is this chapter ever in here? It was put there for this day. It was put there 1,400 years before this man was born, and it was put there for this day. It was just waiting for this day. Because when this man walked into the temple, the priest would be compelled to examine him, to open up the scroll to Leviticus 14 and refresh his mind on what was supposed to be done, since he'd never done it before. He would have to investigate the background of the case. He'd have to look for witnesses. And you have to admit, it was a man standing before you who's perfectly whole and clean, and he's totally undefiled, not one vestige of leprosy in his body. You're going to wonder whether the man ever had it to begin with. And so imagine the investigation into the case history of the man. The feeling of his flesh, and there's not one mark of leprosy on it. No ulcers. His voice was strong and clear. No infection or inflammation in his eyes. No deep furrows in his face. No loss of hair in his eyebrows. The man standing there, clean. And what more remarkable proof could the Lord be giving to his greatest enemies of the truth of his messiahship and the truth of his true identity as the God-man than this cleansed leper standing before the priest and compelling him to open up Leviticus 14 in his case and to examine it? What a wonderful testimony it was. And you who have been cleansed by a willing Savior have the same opportunity to present yourself before a watching world and to bear testimony to the fact that Jesus is the friend of sinners and that his blood can make the foulest clean, that his blood keeps on cleansing from sin. He's absolutely sufficient to cleanse sins of the deepest stain. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And the man was able to bear testimony to the glory of God of what Christ had done to cleanse his condition. Now, I want you to look at the front of your bulletin. Can you do that with me? And look at the verse that I had placed at the front of the bulletin. Were you aware that this changes every week? Maybe you weren't even aware. It's part of what we email the office on Thursdays every day, every week. Psalm 50 and verse 15. This was the promise that we claimed on Wednesday evening in our prayer time as we talked about Psalm 50 together. Now look at that verse. Do you see how that is a precise encapsulation of what we have seen today in the cleansing of this leper? Call upon me in the day of trouble. Are you in a day of trouble? Then God invites you. He commands you to call upon him. The unclean man did that. He called upon God in his day of trouble. Have you? Will you? Call upon me in the day of trouble. If you will, he will deliver you. I will deliver thee. The Lord delivered that unclean man. He was made whiter than snow. That could be you if you call upon him in your day of trouble. He will deliver you. He'll touch you. He's willing. He'll make your darkened soul whiter than snow. And you will glorify him. Just like this man was called to glorify Christ in presenting himself before the priest. And you will glorify him. He'll make you whiter than snow. Remember that song? Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol. Cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Someone here needs to pray that. You turn from your idols. Cast out all those foes. And pray, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Lord, our gracious God, we praise thee for the Lord Jesus' infinite willingness to receive sinful men and women. We thank thee that his blood can make the foulest clean, and that so many of us by sovereign grace can say his blood availed for me. And we pray that this would be true of the entire congregation, all of our children, Lord, all those who are yet outside of Christ. Oh, Lord, give them faith in the ability and willingness of Jesus to receive sinners and to cleanse them from all that defiles them. And may we all continually avail ourselves of the blood of Christ, which keeps on cleansing from sin. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.